glory or the glory. It's great. All right. Now, I'm back from vacation. All right. Those two songs were not in my library, and I made a mistake, but we're giving God the glory today. You all know that anyway, right? Well, we're glad to be back from vacation, and I hope that while we were on vacation, those of you who were doing the reading for our 30-day experiment really finished that and were blessed by that as we finished that 30-day experiment. I found it very blessing, to be a blessing to me as well. When I first thought about doing this 30-day experiment, I knew that we had this vacation planned, and there were four Sundays after Easter, and then we were going on vacation, and I had asked the youth if they would like to do the service while we were on vacation, and that was all set. And I thought that was perfect because this 30-day experiment would be the four Sundays. Only when I got the information more, I realized that they were saying 30 days, but it had five Sundays. The ideas were for five Sundays. So I was debating about what I should do, and I had this little flyer as I about this 30-day church-wide campaign, and I was taking it to the church council to decide if I should go ahead with it, even though the youth were going to do the fifth Sunday. Only Greg Keeler, the youth director, made his report before I was going to talk about this, and he said, the youth are going to do the service on April the 27th, and their topic is, and I quote, I was holding this flyer in my hand, he said, their topic is what really matters. Look at that, what really matters. So I took that as a sign that that's what we should do. We should do this 30-day experiment, and that the fifth Sunday, the youth would pull it all together and just tell us what really matters. And I was very proud of them last Sunday. And I might remind you that they let you out 15 minutes early, so you owe me 15 minutes today, right? All right, so it's communion. We may go over. And then as I looked at this lectionary scripture, because there's only one Sunday now in the Easter thing till we get to Pentecost. So I thought, well, I'll look back at the lectionary. That's the prescribed passages that we're supposed to preach on. And it was John 17. Now, John 17 is the prayer that Jesus prayed when he knew he was dying. It was the prayer that he prayed in the upper room. And so in this prayer, he talks about all the things that are really important to him. It's not only that he was living like he was dying, he was praying like he was dying. And so as we look at this prayer, it's really a very appropriate finish for this series, Live Like You Were Dying, to get the most important things, what really matters, our priorities in life straight. Now, I have to confess that while this prayer is very, very special to me now, when I first read it, before I went to seminary and took a whole semester on the book of John, I looked at this prayer, John 17, and thought, how confusing can you get? I mean, he says one thing, and then a couple verses he says it again, in a little bit different way. And I figured, because I knew that the book of John was written by an old man, kind of remembering back, I figured this was John just writing down and rambling on and on until he got in all the words that he could remember that Jesus said. But as I studied it, as I took that semester on the book of John, I realized that all the thoughts of the whole book of John are all woven together in this prayer. And as I studied it and as I've internalized it over these years, actually this has become one of my very, very favorite scriptures. And actually these words that I found so confusing in the first place were the words on which I laid my hands on this Bible that's right here when I was ordained. they told us to open our Bibles to a special passage that we loved most. And then as we knelt and the bishop and the district superintendents laid their hands on us and said, take thou authority to preach the words and administer the sacraments, that moment in which I became an ordained pastor, my hands were on these words. Because it is through these words that I saw the purpose of my ministry and the center of my life. And so this prayer is just one of my most favorite prayers, most favorite scriptures in all of the Bible. And so I hope to convey that love to you on this day and to help you to experience the glory in this prayer. Because this prayer not only helps you to experience the glory of Jesus, but it points to eternity. And hopefully you can embrace eternity and find out what really matters most as we live like we are dying and get our priorities straight. So let me first of all give you a little context of this prayer. I already told you it was a prayer in the upper room, but in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the upper room account takes just a part of a chapter. But in the Gospel of John, the upper room experience starts in chapter 13 with Jesus washing his disciples' feet. And then there is a lot of discussion which our men in our Maundy Thursday play talk about as they struggle with things. And it's Thomas, first of all, that says, hey, we don't get it. As Jesus is trying to tell his disciples those important things that he wants them to remember, Thomas speaks up and says, we don't get it. Jesus has said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I am you know where I am going. And Thomas, sitting right over there, he says, oh, we don't know where you're going. So how do we know how to get there? And so then there's Philip. Philip says about another thing, says, we don't get it. And Thaddeus says, oh, we don't get it. You know, one after another, this whole long conversation through chapters 13, 14, 15, and 16 is all this conversation. And the disciples are asking questions. They don't get it. Then finally, at the end of chapter 16, guess what those disciples say? They say, ah, now we get it. Oh, now we get it. Now we know that you came from God. And I can just imagine how excited Jesus is. Now they finally get it. I mean, it's the same kind of joy that a teacher has when the kids are looking at those letters on the page and they know it's K-A-T, and they're trying and it gets closer together, K-A-T, K-A-T, until they get, oh, that's cat. I know what you're talking about. It's cat. It's that thing that purrs and I can pet it. And they realize that those letters on the page mean something that they know. And that's the joy that teacher feels. I know. I've been there. I've done that. And that's what Jesus must have felt as those disciples said, ah, now we get it. It's the same kind of joy that you as a parent feel when your child stands up for some values that you have tried to instill in them. And you don't know whether they think that, but you, ah, yes, they've got it. It's the kind of joy that a pastor feels when the youth share such important things like faith is important to them. It's the joy that I felt last week when Sarah, who is new to the church, when Sarah said, I was worried about my grandma and I was in math class and I did something that I'd not done before. You remember what she said? I prayed. And I thought, oh, yes, Sarah. Oh, yes, Sarah. That's what I want you to know, that when you're worried, you can pray. You can turn to God in prayer. You've got it. That's right. That's good. It's the joy that I feel when somebody says to me, oh, I experienced God as I heard the scripture today. Yes, That's what I want. It's not about whether I can remember the scripture or the drama of the scripture. It's about whether you experience God. That's the joy. The joy that Jesus had in that upper room. It's the joy that this prayer tells us about. It's a joy. It's so filled with joy. He says, I've said these things while I'm in the world so that you may have the whole measure of my joy in them. So this is a joyful prayer. Later in the garden, he would pray in agony. And on the cross, he would pray in pain. But here in the upper room, he prays with joy. And so I want you to hear this prayer and the joy that is in it. First of all, he prays for himself. And he prays that his purpose might be fulfilled. Now, these are the first words of this prayer. He says, glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. For just as you have given him authority over all people, so may he give eternal life to those you have given him. His purpose was to give eternal life. Now, we know that eternal life he gave us by dying on the cross and by being raised from the dead. But he goes on in this prayer to explain to us a little bit more in detail about what eternal life is. For he says in the next words, he says, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Now, why he speaks in third person in these first two sentences, I don't know. Whether that's just the way John remembered it or whether it is, but the fact that he speaks in that third person really helps us to know without a doubt who we are to believe in. We are to know God and Jesus Christ, whom God has sent. Now notice that it says know, not know about, or believe that he exists, or think that he's a good teacher. It's know. We are to know God and Jesus Christ. In this passage, then, he shows us what really matters. What really matters in life is knowing God and Jesus Christ. Knowing God. Now, he repeats several times. It's over and over. He talks about revealing your name, revealing God's name. And keep those you have given me in your name, and I will continue to reveal your name. He talks about your name, God's name, over and over again. But we need to realize that it's not just that we need to know God's name. It's realizing that in Jesus' culture, knowing the name of God was to be in intimate relationship with God. So when he talks about knowing the name of God, he's talking about us being in intimate relationship with God, really knowing God. And going right along with that, he talks about giving them your word, giving us God's word. Now, the stories of Jesus, the things that Jesus said, were revealing God to us. And so hopefully you hear the word of God through the stories of Jesus, the things that Jesus have said. You hear them on Sunday morning, but hopefully also you read them during the week when you read your Bible, when you sing songs that reveal the word of God, when you pray to God, because when we talk to God through prayer, that's how we know God. These are the things that help us in that number one thing of knowing God and Jesus Christ. So that's what really matters the most, knowing God and knowing Jesus Christ. Now, the second thing that this prayer tells us about is the importance of knowing that we are part of something greater than this world. In the translation that I have learned, the word world is mentioned 18 times. So he talks a lot about the world. They are in the world, sends us into the world, just as I am sent into the world. But yet there is a sense in which we are apart from the world. He says, they are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. He says that twice. They're not in this world. There's something different. He says he gave us the word, and the world hated them because we're not in the world. It's different. We are here. It's special. God wants us here. Jesus wants us here. He says, I don't pray that you take them out of the world. I just want you to keep them from the evil one. For they are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. When Becca and Rachel had this little interviewed the kids at their school, they told you last week that they found that faith was not important to many of the kids that they interviewed. And that's true. Faith is not important to many in the world. But I was so glad when they said, but faith is important to us. We know that faith is important to us. We know that we're a part of something bigger than this world. We want to get the most out of every moment we have here. But it's not all there is, so that when things don't go exactly the way that the world thinks there is good, like we don't get as much money as we think or as much worldly recognition, oh, well, we're just passing through. We're a part of something bigger than that. We need to remember over and over again that there are things that are more important than money and getting lots of worldly recognition. Because we're a part of something much, much, much bigger. And then last of all, in this prayer, the important thing to Jesus was unity. Knowing that we are one with each other. He says it over and over again. That they may be one, just as you and I are one. That they may be one, that they may be one. Jesus wanted us to know that we were one. That doesn't mean that we all like the same hymns. Doesn't mean we all like the same worship styles. It doesn't mean that we all look alike. It means that we are very different from one another, but yet we are one. Now, we might think it would be nice if we all had red hair and beautiful bronze skin and strong muscles and flat tummies and legs that are good kickers for football. And, you know, we might think that would be all nice, but we're all different. We have different color hair and different color skin, and we have different likes and dislikes, but we are one. Because we love Jesus and because Jesus' love is in us. Our founder of Methodism, John Wesley, said, if your heart is as my heart, give me your hand. It's not, if you like the same hymn as I do, then you can come to my church. No. It's not, if you're the same political party as I am, then we can sit in the same pew together. No, it's not. If you like the same worship style, then you're right as I am. No, it's if your heart is as my heart, give me your hand. We are brothers and sisters to one another, not because we look alike. We are brothers and sisters to one another, not because we like to do the same thing. We are brothers and sisters to one another. Because we love alike. Got it? We love alike. We open ourselves to God's love. And as we do that, love comes into our hearts, and then we love others. That's what the kingdom of God is about. Loving others. And so Jesus prays this prayer. He prays this prayer, first of all, for himself. He prays it for his disciples, but he also prays it for us, because part of that prayer he says, I pray not for those alone, meaning his disciples, but for all those who will believe in me through their word. That's us, We're the ones who will believe. So there in the upper room, Jesus prayed this prayer of joy for us. And so I hope as I pray it for you, you will experience the glory that is there and embrace the eternity that it points to. I hope there's not one of you that gets caught up in the fact that, oh my goodness, how does she remember all this? Don't get caught up there. Think beyond that. I've been working on this prayer for 20 years. So, yes, I know it. But I want to present it to you. I want to pray it for you. I want you to get beyond these words, to experience the glory of this prayer and embrace the eternity, because it helps you to know what really matters in life, knowing God and Jesus, realizing you are a part of something greater than this world, and that you are one with brothers and sisters around the world. That was Jesus' prayer for us. That helps us to live like we're dying. It helps us to prioritize our lives. So now, experience the glory. And, oh, by the way, after I pray it, I've asked Michael to play some music that will help us to just experience it. And then I'm going to consecrate the elements without words. You know those words. Just let the words of Jesus be in your mind as you realize that the Holy Spirit is poured on us, so that as we take this bread and juice into our bodies, we might be so filled with that love that Jesus wants to put in our hearts, that we will be the body of Christ until His coming again. So, hear these words and experience the glory. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. For just as you have given him authority over all people, so may he give eternal life to those you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. I have glorified you on earth by completing the work which you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the foundation of the world. I have revealed your name to those you gave me out of this world. They were yours, and you gave them to me. And they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything I have came from you. For I gave them your word, and they have received it. Now they know with certainty that I came from you, and they believe that you have sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those you gave me out of this world. They are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And in them I am glorified. But I am no longer in this world, but they are in this world. And I'm coming to you. Holy Father, keep those you have given me in your name, that they may be one, just as you and I are one. When I was with them, I kept those with me in your name, and I guarded them so that not one of them was lost, except the one who was destined to perish in order that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now, I'm coming to you, and I have said these things while I'm in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy in them. For I gave them your word, and the world hated them, because they are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. my prayer is not that you take them out of this world, but that you keep them from the evil one. For they are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. For just as you have sent me into the world, so I send them into the world. And for their sake I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. I pray not for them alone, but for all those who will believe in me through their word, that they may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, so may they also be in us, that the world will believe that you have sent me. I have given them my glory, so that they may be one, I and them and you and me, that they be brought to complete unity, so that the world will know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am, that they may see my glory, the glory I had with you because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I know you, and they believe that you have sent me. I have revealed your name to them and will continue to reveal your name to them so that the love that you have for me will be in them and I myself will be in them.